June 12th, 2001. Muriel Wynn, Chief Deputy Prosecuting Attorney for Kendall County, sat at her desk moving papers. In this job, she had discovered an orderly side to her character, which had eluded her in her earlier years. A pop-up message appeared with a ding on her computer screen. 12:02 p.m. Detective Lieutenant Starcheck here for hearing. She greeted Larry in the large open area outside her office, where six assistants jumped between desks and visitors waited on the other side of an old mahogany rail. Across the way, sharing the same secretarial pool, was the PA's office, which her boss for the last decade, Ned Halsey, was ready to surrender to her as soon as the voters said yes next year. For court, Larry had worn a tie and a linen sport coat, both rather stylish. He'd always liked clothes, although they no longer fit him as well. He was big and soft now, and his remaining hair, silky and whitening, had been carefully piled in place. But he had maintained the compelling bearing that comes from knowing who you are. At the sight of her, he smiled broadly, and she felt his amusement. It was funny, pleasantly ticklish, that life moves on so unfathomably that you go your ways and survive. "Hey," she said.
"Hey," Larry answered.
She asked if he minded stopping for lunch. "I thought we could get something on the way to the federal building and talk about this stupid hearing."
"Cool," he said.
First, Muriel took him to her office for a second to show off the photos of Theo, Talmadge's first grandson. Even at 3, you could see he would take after Talmadge, large and broad. He was such a sweet guy, this little boy, the dearest soul in her life.
"None of your own, right? You and Talmadge?" Larry asked.
It was probably the single question she most hated answering, but Larry clearly meant no more by it than confirming his memory.
"Never worked out," she answered, and pointed him to the door.
In the elevator down, Larry asked her to explain today's hearing.
"Raven moved to depose a guy named Erno Erdai, who you supposedly knew," she said.
"I did."
"Well, Arthur wants to do the dep in the presence of a judge, so the judge can make credibility findings now, because Erno won't be around later if the case proceeds. He's dying of cancer."
"Dying? Jesus, things went to hell for Erno in the last few years, I'd say. You know the story?"
As head of violent crimes, she'd reviewed Erdai's case at the time of the shooting 4 years ago. Ex-cadet, TN executive, and solid citizen goes nutso at a cop bar. Mel Tooley had represented Erno and had tried like hell for probation, even getting the victim's lawyer, Jackson Ayers, to say he had no objection. But she couldn't pass a guy on pen time because he lived in the suburbs. They locked up 20 black men a week in this town for shooting somebody. Erno had to go.
"How old is Arthur, by the way?" Larry asked.
"Still litigates like a man trying to save himself from drowning. He was pretty creased when the Court of Appeals dragooned him for this case, but he keeps pushing new buttons. This week, he says Erdai's a critical witness."
"Yeah, critical," said Larry.
"Critical of who?"
"You got it," she smiled. "You got some splaining to do, Lucy."
"The motion claims Erdai tried to alert you to exculpatory evidence which you concealed."
"I hate when I do that," said Larry.
"Then promptly denounced the whole notion as bullshit. Erno wrote me a couple of letters from the joint, same as he did half the force, looking for help once he got in there. What the hell was I supposed to do, send him a sympathy card? I guess Erno joined the other team inside.
He's got an angle, right?"
"He must. I asked to talk to him a week ago, and he refused. His staff at Rudyard has no clue what he's up to."
A few doors down from the courthouse, Muriel stopped by Bao Din.
"You still eat Chinese?" she asked.
"Sure, but nothing real spicy."
The restaurant was old style, with a bamboo curtain in the front entry. As a regular and a person of influence, Muriel was greeted warmly by Lloyd Wu, the proprietor, to whom she introduced Larry. Given the allegations in the motion, she'd had no choice about asking Larry to attend the hearing, although they hadn't spent more than 10 minutes together on any occasion in close to a decade. When he was around the office on a case, he would stop in sometimes. They'd take each other's pulse in a few moments, talk about his kids, the force, and the office. They laughed a lot. After he left, she usually felt she'd made an error horsing around with him. Not because of Larry himself. Larry the Elder was less of a hard case than the man she'd met 17 years ago in law school. But he was a past she had self-consciously set aside, an attachment of the young, lost Muriel, a woman who was meaner, flightier, and unhappier than the current model. But she needed Larry today. Dix never forgot the evidence in a case. Carol Keeney, an appellate supervisor who'd been handling the matter for the last few years as it plotted toward execution, had found no mention of Erdai in the file. But Larry quickly reminded Muriel of the Begats. Erno led to Collins, Collins led to Squirrel. She hadn't realized Erdai was the original source. Eyes closed, she waited for the digits to fall. But nothing came up. She leaned over the table. Old time's sake, Larry, just us girls. Is there anything we have to worry about? I mean, just a fantasy of what they're aiming at?
You mean something Erno knows?
As opposed to what?
You're not a virgin, Muriel, said Larry, treading close to a line that was seldom acknowledged. There was street truth and court truth, and a good officer, like Larry, knew how to make one conform to the other without playing fast and loose. She'd let his remark go.
What kind of exculpatory evidence was this I supposedly hid?
Arthur never said, and we never found out. I sent Carol over when the motion was up and she irritated the judge somehow, and he granted it.
Larry groaned. You know how this goes, Larry. Judge Harlow's the kind who thinks appointed counsel deserves every break, especially in a capital case. And he probably likes Arthur. I think he's just letting Raven take his best shot. It'll be okay in the end.
You mean I'm not going to be bunking with Erno? Larry asked.
I've been hoping for a way to get out of this racket.
You'll never quit the job.
Hell, you say. I put in my papers, Muriel. I'm double fives in November. I'm out January 1, 2002. You know this thing I did, rehabbing? I got six guys working for me now. 54 is old for two jobs.
Six guys?
We turned over eight houses last year.
Yikes, Larry, you're rich.
Not like you and Tomage, but it's been pretty good. I'm a lot better off than anybody in my family ever expected.
He asked her how her life was.
Good, she answered, and left it at that.
What about your marriage? He asked.
She laughed out loud.
Grown-ups don't ask each other about their marriages, Larry.
Why not?
Okay. How's your marriage? You never got out the door, huh?
Did you and Nancy sign a peace treaty?
You know how that goes, said Larry. You wouldn't have me, so anybody else would be second best.
That line didn't sound good, but he was smiling.
No, I mean, it's okay. She's a good person, Nancy. Really good.
What can you say about a woman who adopts your children?
Nothing bad.
Life's not perfect, right?
Apparently.
Okay, so it's your turn, he said. Is it hard? I look at Talmadge when I see him on TV sometimes, and frankly, I think to myself, putting up with that act must be hard.
Talmadge is Talmadge, Larry. It's like riding in the chariot with the sun god. You always feel the glow.
Marriage of the Titans, he said. The super lawyer and the prosecuting attorney. Nobody's elected me yet, Larry, and I still spend time wondering what I'm getting into.
Bull, this has always been your dream.
I don't know, Larry.
Well, you have my vote, Muriel. I want you to be PA. It's important to me, you know, that you get what you want.
There was purpose in his expression. It was a sweet discovery that he remained so committedly her friend. They fought over the check, but Larry insisted on paying. And they hiked through lunchtime foot traffic to the old federal courthouse.
Kenton Harlow, the chief judge of the district court, had assigned the deposition to himself rather than push the matter off on a magistrate judge.